Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard, soft plastic bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's talk about some awesome products.
It's Brian Schiller, everybody. What's up, Brian? Yay!
What up?
Welcome back to the final cast, my man. What's up?
Not much, man.
Yeah, yeah. How was your tree stand soiree this evening?
It was pretty uneventful. Saw some squirrels.
No.
Some birds.
The 200-pound squirrels, what I call them. Yeah. When you're in the dead of the woods and you don't hear anything, and those squirrels sound like they weigh 200 pounds when they come through the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I shot a doe last Friday. Mm-hmm. Well, when this airs, it'll be two Fridays ago.
You killed Bambi's mom?
Yeah, I did. I did. But it was interesting because I saw her coming out off this creek, and all of a sudden there were like two squirrels like fighting. And I saw the same two squirrels in the same spot tonight, like running back and forth, cackling. And I thought for sure they'd scare her away, and she made a beeline right for my tree. So it was pretty interesting.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man.
So you got some meat coming? You got some processing going on?
Yeah, yeah. I use a local processor here that does a really good job and make sure you get your meat back and not, you know, like the big thing with processors is, you know, some of them will take all your trimmings, weigh how much it is, and then they'll mix it in with like 20 other people's trimmings and then grind it all up, where this guy does each deer individually. So you know you're getting your meat back, which is super nice, especially like if you have a guy that brings a deer in and maybe like it's rotten or it got gut shot or, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, I've gut shot a couple deer and like never really tainted the meat as long as you clean it out really well and, you know, take the precautions, but not everybody does that. Right. So, yeah, he does a great job. I was actually talking to the wife. We might try some new stuff that he's offering this year, which is cool. Like in the past, I've gotten summer sausages made, and I would hand them out as like Christmas gifts. I would go up to Wisconsin, get blocks of cheese, have the venison summer sausage, and then kind of give that as Christmas gifts. Well, I never really kept any for myself.
Yeah.
So I might do that because she likes summer sausage and bratwurst. He makes bratwurst too. And a couple other things. So
tube meat, bro.
Yeah. You know me, dude. You know me. He does hot dogs too. So I could send you some so you can make some chili dogs. I know you've been on that kick. But yeah, I'm going to experiment this year because I got, geez. So I punched one tag and I got six more. So, you know, I don't think I'll fill all of them, but if I do, like, usually I try to get at least three deer a year for the family. And I'll give a little bit of meat away and stuff to, like, my folks and, like, close friends, my brother, like, things like that. But usually if I get over that threshold, then I'll reach out to some of my friends and just be like, hey, what do you want cut-wise? Do you want, you know, snack sticks, things like that? And they'll order it up and, you know, they just pay for it. And, you know, that's a great thing about hunting is just being able to share the fruits of nature. You know what I mean? Right. So
I'm going to expect some, I told you already, jalapeno cheddar, summer sausage. So we have a process.
The snack sticks. Yeah.
No, this is summer sausage, the big one.
Like, yeah, he does those too. He does those too.
So good.
Yeah. Well, he does the snack sticks as well. And I would get them all the time before. And last year I didn't, just because, like, I had taken a break. Like, the last time I bought deer tags was 2015. And then last year, Jay wanted to get into hunting. And, like, I'm running him through all this stuff. And, like, I'm like, dude, what am I doing? Like, I should just go hunt with you. Like, he does have some private land, like that fish and hunt club he belongs to.
Yeah.
So he could do that. But I've been hunting all public land. And I really enjoy it. Like, there's been a stigma around public land for many years, I think. And now I love it, man. I love it just because there's so much of it. A lot in Wisconsin, which I've learned. And then there's some really good chunks of land out on the western part of Illinois that me and Jay put a lot of time into last fall. So, you know, Jay kind of re-sparked that passion, you know, last year when, you know, he was drilling me with questions and stuff. And I love teaching people that stuff, man, just like fishing, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, hunting special, you know, it's basically three and a half months out of the year, whereas, like, you can fish all year round, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a special thing, you know.
Heck yeah, man. I'm glad to see you back out there. And that's a good intro, because we brought Brian onto the final cast to talk about hunting out of the kayak, because I know you got to do some, and I know Brad Hurlbus is into it. And so I wanted to kind of get you on to talk about what you did this year to set up the kayak, or what your future plans are. You know, I don't know how long is waterfowl season last for you guys?
So, waterfowl season in Wisconsin, well, I think it's all of the states. And this is interesting because we just did a podcast on the OG show with Punisher Waterfowl. And those guys are in Canada. And their season is like 4 months long, I think they were saying, three or four. And in the States, it's 60 days. So, like, this week,
really?
Like, so you do get an early goose season, and duck. Everybody knows what a Canadian goose is. So you get, I think it's like seven days is that early goose. And then I think it was seven days for early teal. And then, like, I do a lot of duck hunting in Wisconsin. I don't do it in Illinois because the way that they offer it on public lands, like, it's a lottery system and you got to draw a permit for a certain day and blah, blah, blah. Pain in the butt. Whereas Wisconsin, you go to the marsh, you show up and you go out and hunt. It doesn't matter who's there, whatever. And there's a lot of them. But they split the state in half. Because ducks are migratory birds. So, like, northern Wisconsin opener was like that last weekend in September. And then southern Wisconsin opener was the first weekend in October. And then we had like a full week, and then it just closed Monday. through Friday, and it opens back up Saturday. And that's too a lot for the 60-day season. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of goofy the way, like, they do it, but there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Which obviously gives you more weekend days rather than weekdays. But I went up with Brad for the Northern opener. We shot some wood ducks and some mallards. And then the Southern opener didn't go that great for, like, opening morning. And then I drove around, did a bunch of scouting, and we found a little wood duck hole on a creek and shot a couple there too. So, yeah, it's cool. And, you know, ducks, there's many different species of them, and, mm-hmm. you know, they migrate down in waves out of Canada. So, you know, like right now, wood ducks like warmer temperatures. So we're seeing a lot of those. You are seeing some mallards around, but, you know, you'll get into gadwalls and things like that as the season progresses. But, you know, as far as a kayak goes, I mean, where do you want to start there?
But tell me what you're hunting out of, and, you know, let everybody know what you decided to hunt out of this year. And we kind of touched on this a little bit when I had you on, talking about your new canoe. So we obviously sure. know you got a new canoe.
Yeah.
But what boat did you pick, and are you camoed up? What are you doing so far?
Yeah. So last year I duck hunted out of the new canoe pursuit. This year, definitely in the Unlimited. You know, new canoe's been doing a pretty decent sized push for kayak hunting in general, whether it be waterfowl, deer, you know, hogs down south, things like that. Like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I, you know, I'm hunting a lot of public land. So accessing public land by water versus the road, you know, normally you got, you know, certain entrances, only certain ways to get in to access that public land. Well, if you can come in the backside and say there's other guys hunting, well, now they're pushing deer back towards you. Or sometimes it's just a stealth approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be super sneaky coming in off the water versus, you know, the main access, so to speak. Right. But New Canoe actually partnered up with Mossy Oak this year. So New Canoe's always offered a duck blind, and it was just a general camo pattern. But the new Mossy Oak is in shadow blade grass. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the proper terminology. So I'll pull up a picture here. So that's the duck blind bear out of the box. So, you know, the biggest thing when you're duck hunting is trying to conceal yourself, you know, in the marsh, whatever, you know, marsh grass, on the bank of the river, whatever it may be. So that way you're kind of hidden. And, you know, there's guys that, you know, have duck boats and John boats and things like that, that they duck hunt out of. Well, those things are a lot harder to hide in that marsh grass compared mm-hmm. to a canoe.
Right.
A canoe or kayak or whatever. And I believe I was talking about this on another podcast, John Rapp's podcast, the Rusty Hook kayak fishing podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Yak Gear makes a duck blind. And I believe it's specifically for, feel freeze, but I have a feeling like you can use it on other kayaks as well. But there are a couple manufacturers that are out there that do make duck blinds for, you know, just like a one size fits all for kayaks and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which are great. Don't get me wrong. You can use like a burlap, a camouflage burlap, to cover yourself up, things like that. So let me, I'll pull up another picture. But, you know, I personally, Brad Hurlboss turned me on to this synthetic grass. I know it sounds goofy, but it's almost like a plastic, but it looks like real grass. And I use that to kind of do a base layer on my blind. Here it is here for those listening on the podcast. Sorry, guys. But, you know, you kind of zip tie that stuff to those little loops and stuff that were on the blind in that first picture. And it kind of helps conceal you in. However, let me see if I got, this one here. It's still sharing this, right?
Yeah.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
As you can see, that was one side got done, and the other side's done now. But one key thing you want to carry with you that I learned from Brad was a machete. So when you're going into these marshes and you're trying to tuck your kayak in, you want to use some of the natural habitat around you too. So you carry a machete with you and, you know, chop up some of the natural forage around you and kind of lay that over the top of your blind or, you know, stick it into that, you know, fake grass that you already have. And it just helps hide you better, you know. Ducks have the brain of size of a pea, but they can see all kinds of stuff, man. And if you stick out, they are not coming in. They'll flare and go the other direction and things like that. So, yeah, so that's the kayak setup. You know, I'm using the new Canoe Unlimited with the new Mossy Oak blind. And I actually have another one. New Canoe's doing a limited edition with the Mossy Oak partnership. One is Shadowblade Grass, which I know Brad has on order. I think his is supposed to be ready next week, and I have the Bottomlands edition, which is a camo pattern by Mossy Oak. So they kind of try to do the plastic blends to replicate the camo patterns, which is kind of cool. So I got not the shadow grass, the Badlands pattern. And that's supposed to be ready next week as well. So I'll have two unlimiteds. One I'd want to keep kind of set up for fishing, and that's the one I kind of have dressed up in those photos. But
yeah,
the limited edition will be like the strictly hunting kayak or, you know, buddy kayak to go out fishing, you know, things like that. But, you know, it'll be nice to have both. So I have duck blinds for each one. So like Jay right now, right? I just got off the phone with him. He's moving to Tennessee this weekend. He's going down there to drop a bunch of stuff off at his new house. And some of those things are his kayaks. So he's like, man, I'm not going to be able to duck hunt. And I was like, well, if I get that other boat early enough, like, you know, I'll have a spare boat, dude. Come on, duck hunt. You know, so again, it's that, you know, teaching people how to hunt, man. I love doing that because, you know, I didn't get into hunting till like my late 20s. And I had a mentor that took me under his wing, a good friend of mine, Scott Purs, you know, taught me a lot about walleye fishing and just fishing in general, ice fishing. And, you know, he was deer hunting some property that my parents were living on. And, you know, he had asked me about it. And I'm like, I'm sure my folks wouldn't mind, you know, he's just bow hunting, you know. And then I was like, man, I've always like had an interest for that, like shot bows and stuff as a kid and like Boy Scouts and shit like that. But he took me under his wing. I bought a cheap used bow off of Craigslist, shot it a bunch, you know, told me what to, you know, look for, aim for, how to track a deer after you shot it, things like that. Like my first deer I shot, like, this is a great story and a great learning experience. Like, it was my first ever sit in a tree stand, and I had four does come in behind me. And at the time I was in like a two man ladder stand that I had bought, and, I had shot the one, and Scott's like, you know, he heard him crash through the woods, 'cause he was on the other side of the woods about, I don't know, 150 yards away or something. And he came over to my tree after it got dark, and he's like, what'd you shoot? And I was like, a doe. And he's like, where'd you shoot it? And I'm like, I don't know, center of the body, like, you know. And I ended up gut-shotting that deer. And, you know, a big saying in hunting is, when in doubt, back out. And we started to track it, and the blood was just not looking like it was, you know, through the vitals. So, you know, we backed out. I didn't sleep all night because I was worried that I just like botched this deer on my first sit and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Next morning we go back and we found it 30 yards from where we had left off. And, you know, she had passed away over the evening. Found it, no coyotes got to it, which was great. But, you know, it was one of those things, like, you got to pay attention to where that arrow smacks your deer, things like that. Like, I just experienced that this past Friday when I shot that doe. Like, it was getting to the end of shooting light. I had shot the deer, but as soon as I hit her, she took off running, and she was quartering away from me. So basically that means she was facing away from me, slightly angled. Mm-hmm. And I knew I hit her. I just wasn't sure where, but the way that she was angled away, that arrow, you know, you kind of aim for the center of the body because it's going to go forward into the body cavity and, you know, hit lungs, heart, things like that. So, Jay was actually coming out to my house this past weekend to go out deer hunting, and I came back home, picked him up. We went back up there. We had tracked blood, and then like kind of lost it. And mind you, we're in the middle of like the forest at like 10 o'clock at night. Super hard to track it. Like, the blood trail wasn't super great because I had hit her up high. Mm-hmm. So like in the arrow had lodged in her. Like, we had found the arrow that night, and it was good blood. Definitely hit lungs because there was bubbles in the blood, things like that. So when you do that, like, the chest cavity's got to fill up full of blood before it starts pouring out. So it's kind of hard to track a deer, you know, that way, because there isn't a ton of blood coming out till that fills up. So, you know, I was like, you know what, dude, like, we just need to back out of here. We'll go back to my house. We'll go hunt in the morning. We'll come back. You know, we'll hunt for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, because it was going to be cool overnight. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back here. And as sure as I'll get out, like, we're walking in the woods, Jay's like, blood right here. We found that deer in 10 minutes. You know, and we probably walked past it three times that night. not knowing it, but that's the thing, you know, like, when in doubt, back out. Sorry, I know I went down like a rabbit hole with that, but you know, getting back to you know, the kayak hunting, like, it's just super unique. Like, if you've never waterfowl hunted, like, waterfowl is something I've always wanted to do. And Brad Hurlboss, again, like, I think the biggest thing you could probably take away from this episode is if you want to get out there and hunt, get out there and hunt. Like, find somebody that can be a great mentor to you and teach you the right things, and you'll have the time of your life. And then you'll start going out there doing it yourself and all those good things. Well, waterfowl, like, never knew anybody that waterfowl hunted. You know, I've been friends with Brad, and he invited me up last summer. He was like, yeah, dude, you should come up duck hunting. I was like, hell yeah. I've always wanted to do that. Like, heard it's a great time, you know? and that's the thing too. Like, duck hunting versus deer hunting is completely different. Like, duck hunting, you could hunt with your buddies. You can talk. You know, we always make the Letterkenny reference. We could smoke some darts, you know, and, you know, just have a good old time. It's really fun. And it's a style of hunting you could do with friends and, you know, conversate and hang out while you're waiting for these birds to come in. Whereas deer hunting is kind of solitude. Like, you know, yeah, I've gone out in the field with Jay to, like, first couple of times, like, hunting public land, show him what he's looking for, things like that. You know, there's a whole strategy that I have on hunting public land. So, you know, yeah, you could do a little bit of that, but, you know, deer are very wary from scent and sound. So, like, if you're talking like we're talking, a deer ain't coming anywhere near you, you know. Right. You're whispering most of the time, just being super quiet. So, I mean, I really like deer hunting because you get it's solitude, man. You can kind of grab your thoughts, be by yourself, you know, out in the woods, and it's, you know, very peaceful. Whereas duck hunting, man, is just a blast, you know. Like, mm-hmm. Brad brings his dog along with too. Sometimes she'll retrieve the birds, and, you know, we're just sitting there, you know, BSing the whole time while we're waiting for birds to come in. But you know, that's the unique thing. But on the flip side of that, because you're hunting out of a kayak, you can also go out solo. You know, all of our kayaks, super stable, you know, whether you're in a new canoe, a Jackson, a Bonafide, a Feel Free, whatever, like, they have very stable models. And a lot of these duck blinds have little trap doors built in for dogs. So, you know, if you got a retriever, your dog could be in the back of the boat, hop out, go retrieve your birds and come back. Or if you don't, it's so easy to uncover yourself out of the marsh, paddle out, get your birds. Or if it's super shallow, hop out of your kayak, walk out, grab your birds, jump back in the kayak. Whereas, like, going back to what I was talking about before with, like, a duck boat or a John boat or something like that, now you're having to uncover that big boat, get out to the birds, and get back and covered up in a timely fashion before the next flock comes in, you know, which could be a pain in the butt. Like, yeah. I've experienced that with Brad. He's got a duck boat, and, you know, we ran into an instance where, you know, he winged a bird, and we had buried his boat back up in the marsh, and we were hunting off land, and the bird, like, was upside down in the water, and then all of a sudden, like, flopped up and started swimming away. So we ended up losing that bird, and that's, like, the most horrible feeling, you know? Like, whether or not it was a lethal shot or if it was just an injury shot and she'll recuperate, like, you don't know. But, you know, as a hunter, like, I know we get frowned upon because, like, people think we're killers and things like that, but that's the last thing we want to do, you know? But it does happen. Like, it's...
You are the killer shiller.
Yeah, I know, but it does happen. Now, if we were in kayaks, might not have happened because we would have been able to get that thing out and could float it in the 6 inches of water that Brad was struggling in to get his duck boat out of to get to that bird before it got away. So, you know, there's definitely pros and cons. You know what I mean? Like, now you're paddling across a marsh. Brad uses a mud motor on his new canoe, and that thing can rip through 3 inches of water and mud and grass and whatever. I know you guys just recently did an episode with Newport on Newport vessels. I got one of those coming. So I've been talking with Romel, who works for Newport, and he's saying a lot of guys are having no issues going through lily pads and stuff like that. So he's like, dude, you should have no problem ripping through marsh grass.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, looking forward to testing that out. You know, for waterfowl, that's, you know, a couple things. Like, a couple things you should definitely have is like a leash for your gun. That way, if it falls out of your kayak, like, you can retrieve it and you're not going swimming in the end of November, beginning of December, looking for your shotgun at the bottom of a marsh. Good pair of insulated waders when it's in those later months and the air temps and the water temps are super cold. Like, dry suit under those waders.
You know what, dude? I think you have a new business adventure. Camo dry suits.
Dry suits, yeah. We should talk to NRS about that.
Yeah.
Get her a cut, you know? Get them hooked up with Mossy Oak.
Because, I mean, a lot of times when they're making those, they're like high vis. You know, they got reflective and
sure.
It's not really a bad idea because that would be much safer.
Typically, like, you're going to still have waders on, right? Because those, you know, they got the built-in boots and things like that. I do use wading boots and stocking foot neoprene waders for the colder months. And then you're going to have a hunting jacket on over the top of that, too. So, I mean, it still gets covered up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that would be nice. Like an insulated dry suit. Camouflaged.
Yeah.
That's what we need. It'd
be like $1,500. Dry suit.
And then
you start putting the patterns on it, and it'd be so expensive. Like, you know, $700-$800 for like a decent, you know, you could get some of the decent ones a little bit cheaper, but you know, you're looking around that price point.
Yeah,
I can imagine you start slapping name brands like Mossy Oak on it, Gore-Tex, and Insulate.
Oh man! Well, and that's the thing too, right? Like, you can get into it like totally cheap, like I mentioned earlier. Get some camouflage burlap, which is dirt cheap. You can get it at like
spray cans,
Cabela's, Bass Pro. You know, if you got a bright colored boat, just make sure it overlaps your boat. So you're, you know, like if you got like a green boat, it's like a lime green boat. It's not sticking out, or like a red line bonafide. Like, you want to, you know, cover that up. But and like I said, bring a machete, chop down some of the natural forage around you and lay that over your kayak. Lay that over you. I mean, you're going to be wearing camouflage and stuff. You can go get a half dozen to a dozen decoys.
Are you painting your face?
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I haven't yet. I usually use wear a face mask, but I've thought about the war paint just to be silly. But, you know, you can do that for sure. But you can get half dozen to a dozen decoys with weights and everything for $100 or less, you know, like... And then obviously, like, shotgun, you can use whatever. Like, that's the thing. Like, me and Brad have been talking because I'm like, dude, like, I use a Remington 870 pump shotgun.
Yeah.
And Brad's like, dude, you cycle that. True. Yeah. He's like, dude, you cycle that thing like a beast. And I'm like, that's the thing, man. Like, I've been thinking, like, man, I should get a semi auto, like, shotgun for duck hunt, you know? But at the same time, like, I can get three shots off in. Not the same time frame as him, but almost, you know, like, you know, I've shot at birds that I've missed the first and second shot and got them on the third. Like, you know, so what's the point? You know, yeah. It's like you said, that Remington 870 I use for waterfowl. I use it for pheasants. I've used it for woodcock, dove. Like, it's a great all-around shotgun. And I bought that thing years ago for like $250 used or something, $300 maybe. So, you know, just get a nice used shotgun. If you don't want to spend the money on a new one, you don't need the fanciest shotgun out there. Read your local regs, like hunting regulations, and, you know, get the proper licenses and stuff like that. Like, I had a conversation ago with Matt Gibson, and he's like, dude, I've shot just as many ducks over a half dozen decoys not calling sitting in my kayak as I have hunting out of a duck boat with like eight dozen decoys out. Like,
Yeah. You
know, you just gotta, you know, do your scouting. Like, that's the biggest thing with anything hunting, right? Like, I talked about this on, I think it was Mindset Podcast with Chris, because he was talking to me about like the transition from fishing to hunting and like how my mind works and blah, 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 blah. So hunting and fishing are real similar. You know, fishing, we go out pre-fishing, you know, we're scouting new water, looking for fish, things like that. It's the same thing in hunting. Like I said, that opening morning for Southern Opener, we hunted the Wisconsin River, saw a few birds flying, but nothing in range. Talked to a couple guys at the boat ramp, and they're like, man, this has been like the worst opener for us ever. So on my way home, I stopped at a bunch of public land spots that I had marked on my OnX app and scouted them out. And I found this little wood duck hole that ducks were flying in and out of. Went there that night, and Brad ended up coming down and meeting me. And I shot two birds, and Brad missed four birds. But, yeah, it was what it was. Brad was having a bad day. Let's just say that. But I tried to give him as many opportunities as I could. And then finally I was just like, no, it's my turn. But yeah. It was what it was. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. You got to do your homework. It's the same thing with deer hunting. Like, I've been scouting probably 12 to 15 different pieces of public land right now in Wisconsin. And this weekend I'm focusing on the public land in Illinois, because Jay and I and the Godfather are deer hunting during the rut out there. And, you know, you got to put in your homework if you want to be successful and you want to harvest animals. Like, that's what you got to do. You know, and I know Brad does the same thing all year long. He's watching waterfowl holes, seeing what's going in, what's going out. You know, he's a big upland bird hunter as well. So he's going out checking those areas. Like, this year, because we've had such a drought, like, some of the woodcock areas that we hunt are like super dried out. So they might not hold woodcock. So, you know, we've been looking and talking about some other spots for that. But, you know, that's the thing. It's the same as pre-fishing. You just got to do your homework. I look at maps like every freaking day, like, and analyze them. Like, where do I think the deer is going to move? Where do I think they're coming from? Same thing with waterfowl. Like, I like hunting those small little creeks and, you know, marsh pockets and stuff like that. Well, what big lakes are around? Are there farm fields around that they could go feed in and then like stop at this spot before they go to their big water roost spot? Like, things like that. There's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, you got to think like the animal and put in your homework, do your research, and start to try pattern and, you know, these birds or deer. You know, obviously today's technology, you got trail cameras. So I just bought my first trail camera in a long time. I don't even know if I have my old one. But nowadays they have cellular connections on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a picture is taken, it gets sent right to your phone. So, you know, that could be super helpful. Like the trail camera I just picked up, it's by SpyPoint. $100 cellular connection. You get 500 free photos a month, I think it is. And if you want to up that, it's like you can get unlimited photos for like $15 a month, I think it is. So if you're in a high concentrated area or you have other wildlife going by, you know, like coyotes, raccoons,
trash skunks, pandas,
rabbits, dude, epic trash panda story for you, dude. Did Monday night after work, I was in the woods on the edge of a cornfield, and it just stopped raining. There was this big puddle. Saw a little baby raccoon come out and take a bath in the puddle before he proceeded to walk into the cornfield. It's the coolest thing to watch. And that's the thing too, right? Like some people out there think that hunting's all about just killing things, right? Like that's a tiny little fraction of the puzzle. Like going back to what I was talking about earlier, like sitting in a tree stand, just enjoying nature, like watching the woods come alive in the morning and go to sleep at night. And, you know, those night creatures come out like a raccoon, mm-hmm. like so cool to watch that little thing come out, dude. It was cute as a button. I know it's your like long distance cousin, but like came out and just like, you know, jumped in the puddle a little bit, was playing around, came out, shook off like a dog, and then just kind of strolled away into the cornfield to get
going on a date.
Yeah, he was, dude. Yeah, he was getting all freshed up. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, dude. Like, especially in fall, like, you start to see some birds that you don't normally see, like, in the woods, like cardinals, blue jays. You can ask Jay. I'm cursed by the woodpecker. No matter where I sit in any block of woods, whether it be Wisconsin, Illinois, wherever, there's always a woodpecker, like two or three trees away, just knocking away. And like, dude, it just frustrates the hell out of me. But, you know, that's the thing, man, like just getting outdoors and enjoying it. You know, it's the same thing with us kayak fishing, you know, like just being out on the water, catching the fish is the bonus, right? Like being out on the water, you know, just being out in nature, dude. Like, and I know like some people are going to be like, oh, Schiller's a tree hugger, but dude, it's not necessarily that. Like if you've never experienced it, you have to experience it at least once in your life, you know, whether you go and shoot an animal or not. Like I will like bet anybody, like go sit in the woods one night in an area that holds wildlife and just sit up against a tree wearing some camouflage. And just watch what happens, dude. It's kind of gnarly. It's cool. Or get out there at dark and watch it as the sun comes up. Like, it'll be super quiet. And all of a sudden, you think see the world come to life. And it's a unique experience, man. Yeah. But, you know, other than, like, waterfowl hunting, like, I do use the kayak for deer hunting as well. So, like, this spot I'm currently focused on, like, you can come in off the creek and there's actually kayak launches. A lot of people wreck paddle this creek. And there's hunting, public hunting land on both sides of it. So I may come in the backside to access that stuff, to get into bow hunt. During rifle season in Wisconsin, I'm going to access some land that nobody really goes to, where deer should get pushed to. Because everybody comes in off foot. Nobody goes in off the water. So I can go launch a kayak early in the morning, motor over or paddle over to the spot I'm talking about. And there's entrances on both sides of this from land. And it should theoretically push the deer right to me. So, you know, I'm going to utilize that this year as well. You know, I know Brad utilizes his kayak to get to some upland bird spots. You know, when he chases grouse up north, like he'll use a canoe if he's with a buddy or a kayak if he's solo, and he'll get back into some thick stuff that holds birds that you can't get to from land access. It's only water access. So, you know, you can utilize that stuff. I know New Canoe has some track mount gun holders and bow holders. So if you're in another kayak, it's just a track mount system. That's a great accessory to have. I got it on my kayak, and I got a spare set to go on the new kayak as well. You know, you put your shotgun right in this rest, and there's a strap that goes over it, so it secures it in. And it's same thing for bow. Your bow just drops right into it. You strap it in. You know, if you really want to, like, check out some really cool stuff for kayak access deer hunting, check out Parker McDonald. He's got a YouTube channel called Southern Ground Hunting. He does that a ton down in Tennessee and I think it's Alabama or Georgia. He utilizes his kayak for all types of hunting. I think he's already got 3 deer down. I think he just posted another one today that he shot out of his kayak, you know, getting to some public land. You know, think outside of the box. Like, that's the biggest thing, is like a lot of guys are starting to do that. There's a big YouTube channel called The Hunting Public. I know those guys have been using kayaks and canoes for a couple years now, and like, people are catching on to that. Like, hey, it's deer hunting is a lot of work, and doing it from a canoe or a kayak, like, to get back into these access points is a lot of work as well. But if you want to shoot big deer, good deer, you're not seeing deer from the road access, but there's a way to access through water, do it. And I guarantee you, like, your success rate is going to change for sure.
Well, I mean, you even see that when you go on like river trips, like, sure. You know, like, it's
how many of us
going down and you're looking over and there's just a deer and it's looking at you and you're looking at it and it's like, what's happening? And then I'm like, what's happening?
Well, that's the thing too, right? Like, deer got to drink. Like, they need water too. So, like, water sources, especially like early season, you know, like, I know Wisconsin, their bow season opens September 15th, Illinois is October 1st. And, you know, I've been talking to Jimmy Skinner down in Alabama, and I guess they open October 15th. So he's getting back into bow hunting this year. And, so he's been drilling me with some questions, and, we got a group chat between me, Jay, and Brad, like, hunting chat, you know, and he's been asking a ton of questions, sending screenshots of some public land he's looking to hunt, and, you know, asking us what we think are some good areas to go sit in there. And he's kind of giving us the lay of the land, you know, which is cool. Like, you today, again, with technology, Google Earth Maps, Onyx is a great hunting app. I know there's a new one, Spartan Forge. There's a couple other ones, but they use satellite images. They'll show you public land, private property, you know, borders, things like that. So, you know, you're, you know, within, you know, property rights, things like that. And, you know, early season, them deer got to drink, man, when it's super hot, which it has been. Tonight's probably been one of the coolest nights. That's why I went out tonight before we did this, is because it rained and then the temperature dropped, you know, which will typically get deer up on their feet. Obviously not where I was sitting, but, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, I encourage people to try it, man. And if you're already a hunter and you have a kayak and you've never utilized it for, you know, accessing, you know, some hunting spots, you know, maybe when you're deer hunting, you got a goofy wind where you'll blow deer out. But if you come in through the water and come in the backside or, you know, whatever side it may be, and it won't bump those deer, it's just going to increase your success rate. So, you know, it's just another tool in the shed. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that when we were talking about Ohio public lands.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way, with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear. which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, man.
There's some spots that I've always kind of been interested in hunting in my area that I learned from fishing.
Sure.
Before I even got into kayak fishing, I was walking everywhere, and there was some wildlife areas that, you know, that I knew were open to the public for hunting wise and stuff. And I've seen some good deer out there. I just always been, it's like you said, there's always that kind of stigma around public access, you know, it's like duck and run.
I don't know.
I think though, the thing is that more people are trying to trophy hunt. So they're going to take every advantage they can to get on the public or private land, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, so yep. It's like, maybe we can kind of, maybe, you know, you start checking out the public spots and you realize they're not as busy as what you thought. I don't know. I'm not a hunter,
And that's just it, right? Like when I'm hunting public, like if I roll up to a spot and there's somebody already back in there, I go to the next one, like or the next parking lot or the next area. And like, I'll make it work. Like, you know, or like I've had it too, where we show up in the morning and there's like three other trucks in the parking lot. You're like, hey man, where are you going? I don't want to sit on top of you. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to blow your spot up. I'm sure you don't want to blow mine up. Like, communicate with those guys, or gals, whatever they may be. And, you know, like, I've never had a bad experience. Like, you know, hunters are like fishermen, man. Like, we're all buddies. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's cool with each other. You know, just communicate. You know, I have had it like in the past. Like,
did you say anglers are cool with each other?
Most of the time, it depends. But, you know, I had a bad experience back in the day on public, like hiked back into this spot with my climbing tree stand. And like, I'm up in this tree, dude. And this guy comes and like sits like 20 yards from me. And like, you can't like stand up and go, hey, dude, I'm right here, when you're deer hunting. So like, I threw out a couple buck grunts at him. So like, he knew where I was at. And like, he just proceeded to sit there. He looked right at me, and I'm like, really, dude? Like, this is lame. Like, are you freaking kidding me? And at that time, like, I had private land access where my folks used to live, and I had permission on the neighbor's property as well. So like, we had a good block of timber to hunt. But, you know, I've just learned, like, if you ever have that situation, just move. Just get up and move. Like, don't sit there unless it's, like, the last, like, 30 minutes. Like, I had that this last year. I was sitting in a spot, and all of a sudden, some dude, like, just comes crashing through the woods. Like, didn't even shoot a deer. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's, like, the golden time of the night, and you're, like, cracking branches and, like, rummaging through the woods. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, and I was like, whatever, I'm getting down now. Like, this guy just blew this spot out, you know? It is what it is. It sucks, yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, it is public land. It's everybody's land, just like the water, you know what I mean? Yep. It's, you know, just because you have a spot you like to fish on the lake doesn't mean another guy can't fish it.
Right.
But if you, you know, make conversations with that other angler, hey man, like, I'm here, I'm in a tournament, you know, like, I'm fishing for some money, you mind backing off a little bit? As soon as I'm out of here, it's all yours. And 9 times out of 10, that other person is going to be like, yeah, no problem, dude, and roll out. So, you know, that's a big thing, is like, you know, try to get off the beaten path. Sometimes, like, spots get super overlooked that are close to the parking lot too. Like, my big buck I shot last year, actually two deer I shot last year, we're in the exact same spot, 50 yards, 60 yards from the parking lot, because on this particular piece, everybody thinks that they have to go way back in, and everybody looked over this whole spot that was all rubbed up by bucks. It was during the rut, and shot two deer right there, and it was a nice short drag to the pick, to the truck, and it was great. But
oh yeah.
You know, be cognizant of that, man. You know, rifle season in Wisconsin, that's the Wild West. That's when you got to be careful. Like, seriously, I did that for the first time last year, and like, I thought I was going to die. But I made it through, and I'll probably do it again this year. But, you know, you just conscious of what's going on around you, and just, you know, watch out and, you know,
wear orange,
be safe, be seen by other hunters. Like, don't like hide, you know, away, you know, it is what it is. Like, with a rifle, you can reach out and touch somebody, but with a bow, you know, like, typically you're having those deer 30 yards or shorter, depending on what you feel comfortable shooting at. And, you know, a little different. Same thing in the marsh, man. Like, you know, we'll show up, there's other guys in the parking lot. Hey, which way are you guys heading? Like, we don't want to set up over the top of you, you know, because then, like, you're trying to call ducks and this guy's calling ducks, and it's confusing to the ducks. It doesn't work, right? You know? So, you know, just communicate when you're hunting that public land. And I'm telling you, man, like, there's great deer shot on both public and private land every single year. Me personally, like, I'm a meat hunter. Like, I'll shoot a doe. You know, I posted that one I shot the other day, and Dwayne Wally from Tourney X commented on the photo. He's like, I thought I was the only one that shot does. And I'm like, no way, dude. Doe meat is so tender and delicious. Like, I'm filling my freezer, bro. Like, yeah, you know, I feed my family with this stuff. But, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm all about shooting big bucks too. You know, I will avoid shooting a small, like, little 6-pointer or spike or something like that. You know, I like to see those deer get bigger. You know, I usually try to shoot a 3-year-old or older, you know, nice 8 to 10 point, you know, bucks. But, you know, it's to each their own. Like, I told Jay, like, he hasn't shot a buck yet. And I'm like, dude, shoot the first buck that walks in front of you, whether it's a fork 6-pointer or a giant 10-pointer. Like, who cares, dude? Like, the trophy is in the eye of the beholder. You know right. what I mean? Like, I've experienced it. Like, I've let a lot of small deer walk, like, on the old private land, and even on public land, you know, and I've shot some really big deer. And if you're new to hunting, I recommend you shoot as many deer as possible before a big buck walks in front of you. Cause it's called buck fever, man. Your adrenaline starts pumping. Like, your brain doesn't function 100%. Like, it's a very unique experience, and you could really botch that up if you don't have the experience of shooting deer. Like, yeah. I mean, your heart is beating in your throat, and like, a lot of people call it target panic, and they'll freak out and they'll butcher a shot and injure a deer. Yeah. So get practice in. And that's one thing too. Like, as far as bow hunting goes, shoot your bow as much as possible. Always practice your craft. Same thing with rifle. Every year you should go shoot your gun, make sure you're sighted in, you're good to go. Shotgun, like, Jay and I go shoot trap and skeet occasionally, to make sure, you know, we're swinging on birds right. You know, that's a good way to practice for upland hunting, duck hunting, you know, all that good stuff. So just practice using, you know, whatever weapon you choose to use, and just hone that craft, and you owe it to the animal, you know, to put it down in a very fast, humane way. So,
dude, appreciate all the information. Do you have one of your calls with you? You want to sign us out with a call?
I don't. You should have told me, dude. I would have brought a duck call up here or my buck.
I think you were sitting on the toilet doing duck calls. So
no, I was driving in my truck. I always practice my duck calls because I'm not that great at duck calling. I just started toying around with it end of last season. So, like, when I'm driving around, I'll practice quacking.
All right.
You can do the old doe bleat.
Just, yeah, turn around.
Yeah, the grunt is.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this, man. Yeah, anything man. Else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just, like I said, man, anybody that's interested in it, get out there, do it. Find a mentor. Like, feel free to reach out to me with any questions. I know Brad Hurlboss is the same way on Paddle and Fin. You know, we love helping people out and, you know, love getting people involved in the hunting side of things. The more, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like technology got popular and, you know, these old traditions that man has been doing for thousands of years is starting to fade away. And there's a lot of money that comes in to conservation, both for the woods and the water through hunters. So, you know,
we'll just wait till everybody starts smacking deers with their car, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we might need these guys.
That, you know, that's, like, that's a whole wormhole too.
My bushes are all gone because the deer can't ate them all over.
That's a big wormhole too. And there's like a lot of conspiracy theories behind like CWD, which is chronic wasting disease, and things like that. Like, the deer populations were getting big because there wasn't as many people in the woods hunting. So like DNR programs were setting up sharpshooter programs where they would bait deer, which is how CWD is spread through the transfer of saliva between deer. And they were sitting there with, you know, sniper rifles, like picking deer off. And then they were feeding them to like the zoos, or I've heard stories of them just like freaking burying them out in a field, like things like that. You know, it's like, if you want some dude to be sitting in a ground blind drinking bush lattes over a bait pile picking off your deer, you know, don't hunt. But if you want to, you know, be able to feed your family and friends, like, I don't know, man, it's some of the cleanest, purest meat out there. You know, same thing with elk and, you know, all kinds of stuff, like wherever you are in the country, like, you know, that's one of the things that really got me into hunting was, you know, my mentor, Scott Purse, he got heavy into hunting and fishing because his wife got breast cancer and she's been in remission for years. But when she had it and she was going through chemo treatments and stuff like that, you know, one of the questions they had is like, what should she eat? What should she not eat? Things like that. And the doctor straight up told her, go eat as much wild game as possible. Because all your beef, chickens, you know, pork that you get in the grocery store is injected full of hormones, antibiotics, things like that, that affect that stuff. You know, wild game is some of the cleanest, purest meat that you can get to this day, because unless you're going straight to a, you know, organic beef farm, which you're paying $8 million a pound for, you know, like, go out and hunt, man. Like I said, I try to harvest 2 to 3 deer a year for my family. And we literally just ran out of ground venison and steaks and stuff this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's because I was trying to make room for the freezer. Still got 6 pounds of some Italian sausage that I had made up last year. But
more to me.
It's in bulk. It's not in tube form. But, you know, that fed my family, and, you know, we've had barbecues and stuff like that all year long. I mean, granted, we'll still eat beef and chicken and all, pork, it's not and all as that much stuff, but yeah.
I was gonna buy some bison the other day and I was like, what, how much?
That's one hunt I want to do up in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not cheap. It's like, it's like 4 G's. But that meat is a lot. It's a lot of meat. So,
and it's expensive. But like, it's so pricey.
It's so good though, dude. It's good, so good. You. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for jumping on the final cast for this week. And if anybody has any questions, always feel free to reach out to Brian or Brad. They're or even Jay, and I'm sure they'll be more happy too.
I don't know about Jay, but I guess you can try that.
I mean, just talk to him. Let's hassle him. It's just Jay.
Make him feel special. Make him feel special.
Our residential field expert, Jay Randall. Nice. Everybody, thanks again for listening, and tune in next week, and we'll talk to you later. See you.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery, Waypoint TV.